Well, good morning. My name is Ward Cowie. I was a student pastor here in 1981, so that's my Olivet claim to fame. And I was here last Sunday, and we looked at a passage in James 1. And you can see I have up here two kinds of wisdom, but in the bulletin Dana put, and this week I really mean it, because last Sunday I realized as I prepared I really needed to do James 1 before I did James 3, but it was too late to change the bulletin. So therefore, this week I really mean it, we're going to look at it, James 3, verses 13 to 18. So we'll have that first slide, if we may. Thank you, Julian. Where I at least wanted to give you a very brief summary of what it was we looked at last Sunday. So James starts his letter, written to people that he describes as exiles, and he knows that they're going through a rough time. And so he gives them this very difficult kind of instruction. Count it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. And I assured you it was not a desire from him that you become masochists and then really be happy you're getting trials. He gives us some important because words there. He says, because trials can grow perseverance. And he says they also deepen our maturity. And because God's wisdom is always available for those who ask in faith. He goes on to say, you know, he asks, gives generously without finding fault and so forth. So that was the big picture. Trials of many kinds, count it pure joy, here's how and why. But this Sunday, what I want to do is look later in his book where he comes down on a specific kind of wisdom application. And here we need wisdom from above to deal with difficult people. Now, I'm sure none of you have any difficult people in your life, so you could go home now. Actually, I'm sure that we all do. So it's a specific kind of trial that he wants to lay out. And he says there's two kinds of wisdom. But this idea of two kinds is something that shows up, two paths, two roads, shows up in Scripture all over the place. Psalm 1, basically the very first psalm, is talking about the path that you stay away from and the path that you take. And you'll find that repeated all over the place. And Jesus does that in Matthew 7 in the Sermon on the Mount when he says this, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. See this two ways thing that's going on, that's there in the Sermon on the Mount. Now right here in James, starting in verse 13, he gives us the two kinds, two paths to wisdom. And he asks this question. After he has gone into a lot of description about how taming our mouths is such a massive challenge. And he asks the question, who is wise and understanding among you? And notice that those words have to do with practical living, not just knowledge. And some of those original words really underline that. He says, by his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness or humility of wisdom. That probably echoes with one of those Beatitudes that you memorized if you were a Sunday school kid. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And you'll see many echoes to the Sermon on the Mount in the book of James, if you read through. And he says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. Bitter. Bitter jealousy. Bitter envy. That's a word he's used earlier in chapter 3 to describe, you know, the spring that should bring fresh water and bitter. He's echoing it. And so he's trying to create for us here word pictures of how this negative kind of wisdom is nasty and poisonous. In verse 15, he says, this is not the wisdom that comes down from above, the wrong path, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Those, obviously, he's serious. He says that path is one that is extremely negative and dangerous. And he says, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. So have you got the picture? Wisdom from below is a bad idea. And then in verse 17, but wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Those of you who have read of the fruit of the Spirit, you're going to hear an echo there of some of the words. In Galatians, when Paul does it, he has that wonderful list for us. And this one is similar but specific to the person who's wise. And finally, he says, a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Another echo to the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers. And we're going to think a bit more about that as well. So two kinds of wisdom. Let's pray now that we can do some unpacking of what this means for us. Lord, all of us have had difficult people. Some of them dominate our minds and hearts right now because we're in a crisis. And you know our temptation, Heavenly Father, to respond in that negative way that James describes. But we pray this day that you would reveal to us, empower us, and fill us with the Spirit, that we would hear and obey path number two. So I pray, Lord, for these folks and whatever they're facing, that they would hear correction where it's needed, but also great confidence in you as Heavenly Father. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just this morning, I was reading a Worship Leader magazine, which was really irritating because it actually went straight at one of my sermon illustrations today. You know, it's not, were some of you praying for me today, this morning? Apparently so, because I was just trying to get rid of this magazine and there it was. So Peter and those of you who are worship leaders, you may appreciate it. It's actually Keith Getty who's being interviewed. And he says this, one historian was asked, can revival ever come back to England? And the historian said, can you sing? That was his response to what it would take for revival. This is very irritating now, and you'll understand why as I give you my opening story. When I was in grade eight, my music teacher was my difficult person. My music teacher. In those days, you didn't have choices about what courses you would take, certainly not in grade eight. And I was forced to take music, which also irritated me because I was competitive in school and it meant that Nancy Richardson was always the top student because she could sing. And I couldn't. I also couldn't write very well. But nevertheless, this teacher was what I would call, at least in one instance, rude and shrewd. Rude and shrewd with her young pupils, three boys in particular. One day, without advance warning, each of the grade eight students was brought to the front of the class, and there we were told, without preparation, we would now sing solo, God Save the Queen. And she would give us a little bit of help on the piano. Now, I am a fossil. Yes, we recited the Lord's Prayer and sang God Save the Queen as school opened every day. So it wasn't as if I didn't know the words. But I was in puberty. My voice was changing. I don't have any musical ability. It was a massacre. And I would call it rude, because she knew how the three boys were going to struggle. But now here comes the shrewd part by this same music teacher in grade 8. She then took aside Ward Cowie, Herb Harris, and Jimmy Oliver, the three boys whose voices were changing, and she informed us about her plan for the upcoming Kiwanis Music Festival. You know, you go off to a big place and we'd all sing. In the class, we were told we would not be singing at all, the three of us. In fact, we were to stand in the back row, and our job was to carefully mouth the words, but let nothing come forth. And by the way, in those days, it wasn't a suggestion, and no reasons were given. It was just an order. Now, I put to you this morning that memory I have, at least, was of a rude and shrewd person in my life. As a result of her designs, I can honestly say that for many years and even to this day at times, certainly then, I never wanted to sing again. And so listening to Jimi Hendrix and Led Zeppelin very loudly, it didn't matter whether I wanted to sing. That was my teenage years. Now, I'm using a story here. This is Laura and I would sit and we'd tell you, you've got to be careful with your illustrations. Because if I was to give you an illustration of a difficult person in my life where it was super harsh, that would deflect from you hearing James. Okay? So I admit to you that there are many, many much more difficult situations that you faced. Hey, who had a great time in high school? But maybe my wife did, and I've always said she's so exceptional in this. So I admit to you, I'm choosing with my grade 8 experience something that you are going, well, it's a little bit small. It's intentional. I've had much worse, and so have you. But we don't want to miss what James is saying. That's part of the reason I didn't use a much more harsh picture. But I will say this. Her actions left, maybe a small, but left a broken part in me. She was rude and shrewd, and there was a specific way in which I paid for it in the world of music. Even to this day. I needed her music encouragement, not dismissal. So now, Kathy, my wife, pointed out, you look at the people in the balcony and I forget. So that's good. I want you to imagine that grade 8 teacher is sitting up in the balcony this morning. She showed up by surprise. Her problem is, I alone have the platform and the microphone today. She doesn't. This time, I'm in control. And she's not. What am I going to do with her right now? I have two roads I can take. Option one, give her a taste of her own medicine. Find all the rude and shrewd words I can and let her have it. With enough humor that the rest of you chuckle a little bit. The dangerous part is I might be able to pull that off, which isn't a good sign, is it? So let's have that next slide of wisdom. Oh, we can skip this one. This is the music teacher. Wisdom from below. See, I think if I take her to pieces this morning, I've made the nasty choice. But I have to admit to you that too often in my life still, it's my knee-jerk response. And I'm betting that it is for a lot of you as well. You know, Jesus isn't finished with us yet. And this is one of the signs. You see, on this slide, what you have are four selections from verse 14 that reveal the heart that's gone wrong on the wrong kind of wisdom. Bitter envy, selfish ambition, boasting, being false to the truth. Those are symptoms, if that's how you're behaving with the person you now have in your grasp sitting up in the balcony, that you've chosen wisdom from below. I don't think it's a complete list that James intends here. It's just a sampler. So do I feel free to add my phrase, rude and shrewd, to his list? I do. Sometimes being rude and shrewd can be a really good signal in our kind of culture, especially in a church culture, especially just at a business meeting that's coming up. Rude or shrewd, more likely. I think it's wisdom from below. And those words, earthly, unspiritual, demonic, should rattle your cage. So that if you think being shrewd is just a small issue, now how I deal with her matters, and certainly matters to my soul. But so often this is where we start. Fortunately, so do a lot of the Psalms. A lot of the Psalms start out with somebody saying, Lord, it'd be really great if you smashed them good. But that's where the Lord is saying, he knows how we work, how we tick, and that we need to get to the resolution that most of the Psalms come to. This stuff has the smell of hell. And that's what James wants us to get today. And this is not how I should treat that grade 8 teacher who's all the way back in the balcony. So I need wisdom from above. What would that look like? Well, on this next slide, I want to give you just a very brief sample. If I have wisdom from above, as I talk to my grade 8 teacher, I will have meekness and humility in my approach to her. Not rude and shrewd. And my humility will hopefully include some of those eightfold wisdom characteristics that we see in verse 17. I would underline in that situation gentle and mercy in particular. And finally, I would attempt to make peace with her as best I can. Shake her hand after the service and so on. What words on the eightfold list do you need to grab onto today for the difficult person or people in your life? What's the Holy Spirit underlining and saying, not that way, this way? Now please notice that humility and forgiveness and making peace do not just ignore or gloss over real issues and real hurts from the past. You might be tempted to think I'm advocating that. Not at all. That's not God's wisdom, but it'd take another whole sermon series to unpack a biblical, healthy way of forgiveness and reconciliation. Those are different categories. But let me at least read you two verses from 1 Peter Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For this, to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. So, grade 8 teacher, that's what I need to offer you if I've heard James 3 correctly. One last slot on choosing God's wisdom from above. I still have to work out my grade 8 issues. Because, you see, if I show wisdom from above, it increases my friendship with God, my confidence in Him. It helps break any cycles of revenge I might have in me, and it puts into a healthy place. But, you know, it doesn't mean that I still don't have music issues. I do. Little twinges. Sometimes, in these areas where I've had difficult people, the Holy Spirit has come along and instantly fixed something in my life. And I've seen it in others. And I don't want to rule that out this morning. But a lot of times, it's a gradual process and things emerge. My issues with music. Peter Anderson, you did it to me this week. Yeah, it was quite nasty, actually. You chose for the closing song nothing from Chris Tomlin, let alone Led Zeppelin. May the Mind of Christ My Savior was your suggestion. What an awful choice. That means that David Carlson, who's also going to play the organ, is going to play with, you know, flourish, because it's a hymn, it's in his bones. It's all coming. I can sense it. I can feel it. Now, there is a part of me that has learned to love both hymns and music, but there's still a little part of me that reacts especially to church music. When I was 18, I was converted, ended up in a church like this, and the music drove me crazy. I thought, I've gone to another planet. And remember, I had not done any singing. All these people wanted me to sing. And so I had a great strategy. I would show up for church and avoid David Carlson's playing, because it was all organ in those days, David. And I would arrive just as the sermon began, so I only had to sing one song. But God's been working on me. You may be encouraged to know. And now I realize that wisdom from above would say, Ward, get over. Don't let the grade 8 teacher still determine your response to what's going to happen in just a few moments here. Instead, recognize that it's in Peter's bones and David's bones, and this is the way they are going to make an amazing contribution this morning. And so part of my job with wisdom from above is to join with them in humility, admitting, then I always tell the person at the back, make sure the mic shut off before that music starts. Wisdom from above is where we address with humility the difficult people and the leftovers in us that need to go. And I'm sorry, David, but it's going to take me a while to still fully enter in with you. Perhaps in the next life, you can really teach me what this means. For now, I'm under repair. Are you? And are you inviting the Holy Spirit today to come into your heart and identify where you're operating rude and shrewd. When it's time to operate with wisdom from above. May it be so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are in doing that amazing work by the power of the Spirit, whether fast or slow, of doing the repair work in us that's come from many places, but especially difficult people who've hurt us, betrayed us, disappointed us, in and outside the church. And so we pray today, Lord, that you would fill us with your wisdom, wisdom from above, that puts us on the road that you have planned for us and those around us. Help us, Lord. Help me sing. In Jesus' name, amen. This hymn, "May the Mind of Christ My Savior," however I may have given poor David a bad time, please notice the words and how they invite exactly what James is talking about. May the mind of Christ my Savior, a wisdom from above, be in me today. Let's sing.